It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
And welcome back into Sports Daily. Hour number two starts with our biweekly visit with Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul as we enter the fall sports season. We've had a volleyball exhibition, an exciting night at Koch Arena with K-State. Shockers didn't have it go their way, but we're playing exhibition games for a reason. We've got schedules out, non-conference schedules for men's and women's basketball. Does it feel like you guys are back in school? You're back in school, right? Students are on campus, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, guys. We just started classes on the 19th, so we're a week in, starting week two. And I can't believe you just said fall sports schedule. This feels like we finished up in May and the summer flew by, but a lot of great things going on this summer, and we look forward to a great year.
It's wild. How did the exhibition for volleyball go? It looked like a pretty exciting environment there. What did you think of what you saw there from not just the volleyball team, but from Shocker fans as well? A good buzz there?
Fans were awesome. We had, I think we were just pushing 3,000 in there, so it was a great atmosphere. Volume level was really good. Very, very competitive first set. I think we were up 19-15 and ended up that one slipped away. Close second set, 25-20, and then it got away from us in the third. But I thought we were really competitive. Coach Lamb played a lot of different combinations. Obviously, that's what you want to do in an exhibition game, and it was great competition. K-State's a good club, and seeing what our volleyball team does down in Kennesaw this week. They've got Kennesaw twice in Indiana on morning, so be a good test this weekend.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see, you know, and a good crowd showed up for that exhibition game, and that's wonderful. I'm telling you right now, Wichita State basketball, Wichita State volleyball is going to be a revenue producer for you before too long. But let me talk just a second about the basketball schedule for men. You just got her wrapped up. You want to fill anybody in that hasn't heard what the final additions are, and give me what you think is your highlight with regards to the men's basketball schedule that you just got wrapped up.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Paul, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about volleyball. If we're really transparent, it's about $2 million in terms of scholarships, annual operating. So we got a little ways to go to make $2 million and then get on the plus side of the revenue. But we'll continue to work at it really hard. I appreciate that there. Yeah, it's a great schedule. We look forward to some really intriguing matchups, I think. It's we released the non-conference schedule. We'll still have to wait. You guys know that this thing comes in phases. So we typically get into game times after TV makes their selection. So we anticipate a fully complete schedule with TV selections mid-September. But we'll start off with an exhibition state opponent at Gloria State. We start off on the road at a good Western Kentucky team. We played them to a really close game in Koch Arena. Catch up. We come back home for a team that has been in the NCAA tournament, I think, 3 out of the last 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, in Montana State. We will then face a perennial Missouri Valley Conference foe, Northern Iowa, who typically has a great club. So that'd be a good match for us, and Monmouth. So you got a 3-game set there in November, Montana State, Northern Iowa, and then Monmouth. We hit the road. Duke Site Hall of Fame Classic that's put on by the National Association of Basketball Coaches in Kansas City. We'll play St. Louis. That's a top 100 team in the country. And then we go down to Florida for the multi-event. We'll play Minnesota on Thanksgiving Day, November 28th. And then depending on the results of the game, the next game will play either Florida or Wake Forest. So some really stiff competition there. You sprinkle in East Tennessee State, Kansas State. We feel like we've got a non-conference strength of this in the discussion for an at-large bid.
Yeah, and that's the goal, and we love seeing that. I can't wait to see this team get out there and take it. I assume still positive. I have felt in the conversations with anybody over there that it has been a really positive feeling. We're talking on the court here of how this group is coming. Are they in full practice mode? What happens in August with them? I know they have the summer work and then they obviously get into their season, but what do August and September look like for the basketball teams?
Yeah, it's a great question. August and September, we get them for 8 hours a week. So typically you get 4 hours of skill instruction, you get 4 hours in the weight room. So they'll do, I think they basically do about 4 days, 45 minutes to an hour in the weight room. And then they'll get 4 hours of full team practice. And then sprinkled throughout there, you got small groups and individual work. So there's a lot going on right now. Those guys are working at it really hard. Women's basketball is in the same scenario, 7 hours per week. That roster has made some exciting transformations. And I think Shocker Nation will be pleasantly surprised with where a women's basketball program is as well.
Right. And, you know, one of the things also, you know, you're always constantly trying to raise funds. We just talked about volleyball, for instance. But, you know, baseball is one of those things that one of the things that people have enjoyed over the years is the annual scheduled October golf tournament. You got that coming up. And that's a chance to kind of rub elbows with players and coaches and staff and administrators in the athletic department. Talk a little about this golf classic coming up. And that money goes to sponsor baseball, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no question, Paul. I appreciate you asking that question. Friday, October 11th, we've got the Shocker Baseball Golf Tournament. We'll be out at Tallgrass. Great opportunity. A lot of alumni come back. Would encourage Shocker Nation to sign up for your foursome. You can get that done through the basketball office. You can go into GoShockers.com and sign up for that. But typically, we'll have a lot of alumni back. Gene, Brent, the whole crew. Staff have just done a remarkable job of embracing the history and tradition of the place, the alumni, and we're working on a couple really, really special items for that weekend that we hope to announce that weekend. It'll be really special for our baseball program. We've got some great momentum there, guys. You know, we've redone the outfield experience. We put a 16x60 deck out there. We've got $1.4 million in facility renovations that are ongoing currently. We're constructing a pitch performance lab down the first base line, and that old second floor batting cage area. We're getting new lights, and all the blue seats down in the concourse are getting replaced there. So when you talk about from a revenue standpoint, Paul, there's no question that we have an opportunity to do some really nice things in both baseball and the sports that compete in Coke Arena, and we're trying to invest in those areas that can return on investment for our department.
Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul joining us. Always appreciate the visits and always appreciate the insight. I don't know how much you've looked at this one, Kevin, without football, but some news in the ever-changing world of the NCAA and rules. There is a proposed transfer window rule change for, and I think this would affect football mostly. I don't know if it would affect the others. You can enlighten us on that. But it would eliminate the spring transfer window, and apparently there's a lot of momentum from coaches and administrators to do this. A, what does that mean anything outside of football? And B, should we be happy that these rules are evolving? I know it's been chaos, but we've always said there was a light at the end of the tunnel. Is this an example of that? And does this affect Wichita State at all?
Yeah, oh, it absolutely does. I don't think that the transfer portal is going away, Jacob. And from that perspective, I think we need to embrace that as a reality. What we do need to do is find a balance in the middle that coaches an opportunity to recruit Maine. When the transfer portal rules first came out and you had multiple windows per year, and some of them were butted up right next to the start of an academic year, and it really made it difficult for our coaches just to simply replace roster spots, much less with really talented individuals. So what you're seeing is a streamlining of the quantity of windows that are open during the year, and then even the time span. The original windows by sport were 45 days. There's some legislation out there to approve a 30-day window, which seems to be more than fair. So obviously we want to provide the opportunities for student athletes, but we've also got to balance the needs of programs and coaches that are trying to build programs.
All right, Kevin. Well, look, we know that you guys are busy. We know that volleyball's coming. Picked second in the AAC preseason poll that came out earlier this week. If you need a reason to be excited about a big, what we expect to be a big Shocker volleyball season, get out there and support them. Volleyball is a blast, especially when it's really high-level volleyball. Lots of stuff going. You can go to GoShockers.com and find all the info on that golf tournament that Paul and Kevin mentioned on volleyball, everything else. Kevin, enjoy being back to school. I can't help say those words and not think of Billy Madison and the song. We won't make you sing it, but I know you know it.
The three of us could probably do a pretty good rendition of that.
We could. And we're going to get you. So here's the other thing, Kevin. We'll get you a video link for some of these visits. And on Wednesdays, Paul has started a movement, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays, to let everybody know that you're ready for a party. I'm sure you've got some Shocker Hawaiians, so be ready with that in a couple of weeks.
There you go.
In here on a Wednesday.
I have to warn your ratings because I've got a face made for radio, for sure.
That's okay. That's okay. We're sitting across from Paul Savage.
That's
here.
Right. Me too.
All right. Kevin, be good. Enjoy being back in school, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much, guys. Go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. We will get him involved on some of the video stuff there. A little bit choppy on the connection there. No problem. I think we got the info we needed. And, yeah, that's what I assumed would be, you know, hey, look, we talk, Paul, all the time on these transfer points. Everyone thinks it's chaos. It can be chaotic, but it will get better, right? Like, there will be an end game in all of this, and it'll be good. It is very chaotic to get there, but things like that will be, you know, the things that get things manageable.
Yeah. Do you like it? Do you like what your proposal?
Sure, I like anything.
I mean, I think I kind of like
I like
better.
Anything that creates stability.
Bingo.
But
that's right.
But does not take the athlete's rights away.
Correct. And thank you. That is perfectly
limited.
Said.
You know, getting more organized on when you can do certain things is just fine. That doesn't take anything
good.
Away. It helps everybody have a better understanding. Don't ever,
right,
you know, have a misconception. Athletes are taken advantage of in this stuff all the time too. I think some of these things can help them. All right, we're going to come back. We'll continue to take a look at the Chiefs roster decisions. We'll get you ready for a Royals game today. Two of the big lightning rods of this, you know, summer have been Prime in Colorado, Paul, and mm-hmm. Jerry Jones for the Cowboys.
Right, boy, you're not a kidding.
But both continue to be in the news. We can discuss some of the latest things there.
Oh, I want to. Please, let's do.
Jerry Jones goes on a profanity-laden justification for his job being his job and all the fun. But we got a lot to come here in the second hour. We want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for providing us great coffee each and every morning here
right,
at
right
KFH
here.
And all across our Odyssey family. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. Everybody, it is Sports Daily. We've been talking a lot of football, getting ready for KU, getting Chiefs roster news, all the football coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's set up our concert giveaway for the second hour today. Don't miss out on your chance to see Cody Jenks at Intrust Bank Arena on November 23rd. All you got to do to take your shot at some tickets is text the keyword Cody, C-O-D-Y, to the short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We come back in, and Paul, let's dig back into the Chiefs roster. Talked about this right off the top of the show. The Chiefs are 1 week and 1 day away from playing the Baltimore Ravens.
All right.
I think if you missed the conversation in the early hours, a couple of things. They kept seven wide receivers. Kadarius Toney is not one of them. That was the most headline grabbing of things. I don't know if Juju Smith-Schuster took his spot directly. I had surmised it was less about that for Juju and more about the Chiefs just making the decision if they wanted Tony's, I don't know, gadget ability to be a part of the team. And clearly they do not, and they're ready to move on, and that's just fine. But they do keep seven receivers, which feels a little interesting considering they traded for Juju. I thought when they had Juju, they may only go with six, because really, Paul, what you've got is you've got your three projected starters when Hollywood's back in Rashi Rice, the rookie first rounder, Xavier Worthy, who's had a really nice camp and preseason, and then Hollywood Brown. And then you've got Justin Watson essentially to back all of those players up. They go and they add Juju, who could back some of those players up, but certainly give you the experience. And then it was like, okay, what do they do? Do they keep Tony? Do they keep Mecole Hardman? Well, they're keeping Hardman, but they also keep Sky Moore. I don't know if that tells us they just don't want to give up on Sky Moore yet. I don't know if they think he's a valuable part of the special teams. I think the special teams equation, Paul, when we see, you know, maybe like Lucas Niang go and some of these other guys carry maybe an extra player, do you think if you're the Chiefs, I mean, you've been a part of these meetings, if you're the Chiefs and you've got tough decisions, are special teams a bigger part of those decisions now than ever before with the new kickoff rules where you're just trying to make special teams a weapon again?
I'm thinking that it is, because now you're starting to see some of these kickoffs returned in a set of different rules where, you know, you've got a field of football and it's not automatically just, you know, running down there and running through the end zone. So, yeah, you're exactly right. There is now the possibility to turning, you know, a good return man into an offensive weapon.
Not even just a return man, too, either, right? You've got to defend the kickoff.
That's right.
Is one part of it. And just good, you know, we've seen special teams players be impactful over the years.
Right.
It seems like there's a bigger opportunity for those guys to be on the roster, maybe rather than carry a ninth. Let's use the Chiefs as an example here, because they have, they ended up keeping 10 offensive linemen. So maybe instead of keeping 11 offensive linemen, right, you keep 10 and you add one other player somewhere else that you feel like could be a difference maker on special teams specifically. Mm-hmm. They don't help you with anything else, maybe, yeah. but it has become this third unit. The other thing I wonder when I see this 53-man roster, all these things, I wonder with these changes, let's say the league falls in absolute love with the new kickoff rules, which I think is a decent possibility.
I do.
What if you expand the regular season to 18 games, which seems like it's a matter of when and not if.
It will. That's right.
I would guess that we see rosters expanded beyond 53 players relatively soon, because now you've got two things happening. You've got potentially another game to account for. And if you're going to make special teams this big of an emphasis, which clearly they are, allow teams to have, you know, special team specific guys. Like, you know, you spend your entire year preparing. You know, you've got offense, you've got defense, and you have a true special teams mm-hmm. where you have specialists who that's what they, you know, train and get ready to do is to make that unit a weapon for a team.
Well,
I would bet we see that number grow in the next two or three.
Well, I'm not quite sure that would be the case, partly because, you know, special teams is traditionally in the NFL in particular has been one of those things with guys that run. In other words, you know, if you're an offensive back, if you're a defensive back, if you're a fairly well-running linebacker, they, you know, you fill rosters with position players. I mean, there's if what you're saying is that there's going to be a man or an individual that makes a NFL roster because he's a great cover guy, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that'll be. He's going to be able to play. He will be instrumental in what position that he plays. And there's so many guys out there that are really good football players by a position, but can also, you know, run and cover.
But couldn't special teams be a position? I guess that's the crux of the matter.
No.
Like outside of just return man.
No, I don't think.
You know, the Patriots did it with Slater all those years, and he was a weapon for them on that, you know, in those. It was Bill Bates. You remember Bill Bates for the Cowboys?
Gosh, yes. But he was a guy that, you know, tracked people down. I mean, he was one of those guys.
But he was a special teams whiz.
He was
a weapon for them.
But he was also a good, I think, wasn't he a safety? I believe he was
I don't know. He never played.
Well, that's not exactly true. But, I mean, he was a good football player.
He was a great football player. He was just great on special teams.
Well, but that's right. But, I mean, the point is that he does have ability to play other positions. I don't know that football will ever get to that point. I don't think they'll ever have the luxury. I don't think the NFL owners would ever say to themselves, well, let's go ahead and add four or five guys to a roster, and let's go ahead and all they have to do is cover punts and cover kickoffs, or block for punts and block for kickoffs, or that kind of thing. The only true specialty people are going to be punters and
kickers.
Bill
Bates played a really long time for the Cowboys after 1988. And he had a great 1988. He had 124 tackles. He had 50 tackles one time and never sniffed it after that. Like, he was a special teams guy for, I don't know, it felt like a decade for the Cowboys. And it was a valuable part of what made them really good. Mm-hmm. It will take loving the new kickoff for something like that to happen or not, or teams just decide they want to prioritize that and they don't want to carry extra players who may not be able to help them on special teams. Because if you make, I mean, Paul, field position's everything in football, right?
It is.
If you can bring in a couple of whizzes to help you gain 30 yards of field position in a positive manner on either side throughout every game, like that could make a big impact. I don't know. The Chiefs will be the team that tries it. And I'll tell you that. Like, they emphasize special teams. Clearly they have. I just won't be surprised if a guy like Sky Moore doesn't ever really see the field as a part of an offensive package.
Yeah.
And is just like is a special teams guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're setting up basically, you know what you're going to see more than anything, if a team's given up 30 yards of kickoffs or whatever the case might be, you're going to see a new special teams coach. That's what you're going to see. You're not going to see necessarily new players. You're going to see another guy who can get these guys motivated, give these guys the technique they want. And there is technique, believe it or not, there's technique running down and you know, taking on blockers. There's a lot of technique in it, and you're going to get a new special teams coach. If the scenario you're talking about, teams giving up 20, 30 yards on kickoff more than somebody else, they're going to have
over the course of a game.
Yeah, one way or the other. Yeah, they're going to have a new specials team coach. That's what's going to happen. I'm just not sure that we're going to ever see, because of injuries, it's such a big part of the game of football. Injuries, nicks, you know, those kind of things, whether they're season ending or whether maybe you just need to get ice on it, it's still such a big part of the game. That's all I'm saying, Jacob, is that I don't think there'll ever
be a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit hole that went down. But there were a few things that made me wonder about it. They're going to carry four tight ends. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that one of those four guys is going to be a special teams.
Maybe two specialists. Yeah, maybe
right.
So.
I also wonder, speaking of tight ends, because they make the trade for Peyton Hendershot, kind of surprised people because they drafted the young tight end, Jared Wiley, who by all accounts, they're pretty excited about. Noah Gray's the experience. And then, of course, you have Kelsey, no Blake Bell this year. They're carrying four, though. Is that in any way an indicator? And I'm not speculating this. I would, in fact, say it's probably not, but it might be. Any chance that's an indication they plan to give Travis Kelce a little more time off within games? I know people are – here's why I asked this question. I know people are getting ready for fantasy football drafts. Are they going to pull back on Kelce's role just a little bit to preserve him in his advanced age now to get him into the postseason and healthy by then? I think there is a chance of it. I'm not sure I would say that I believe it because we've never seen it before with Travis Kelce. But he has said a lot of things this offseason about how he needs to do it better, how he feels it a little more. Now he needs it, you know, preserving his body is becoming a bigger part of what he needs to do, where, you know, forever he's just kind of been Mr. Football. Get out there. You better not take me off the field ever. We remember the arguments and things on the sidelines.
Yes, we do.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does not play as many snaps throughout the regular season as he normally might. Obviously not going to be in a passing situation, but if it's, you know, if you're going to run the ball and you know you're going to run the ball, maybe Kelce gets a snap off, and you don't want to give any tells to the defense, obviously, but carrying four, look, the Chiefs have carried four in the past. It's not surprising that they're carrying four tight ends. It's a little surprising to me, though, when they drafted the rookie they like and they had Noah Gray with the experience, that they went out and traded for another tight end. Clearly, it was a goal to have four tight ends. They cut Irv Smith. I think that there's a pretty good chance Kelce gets a little more time off throughout the regular season than he normally would.
Well, sure. You know, there comes that point. I mean, he is now over 30, and there comes that point where your body, it takes a beating, you know, and in his position. I mean, he's taken his share of shots, hadn't he? So that's easily said, and I think you might be on to something. I hadn't really looked at the fact that four tight ends mean that, you know, means that they're going to start relieving him, or they're going to pick their series and that kind of thing. That's an interesting thing. My question is, do you need four tight ends? I don't know if you need four because, it's just hard to say, but it might be best athlete available too. I mean, that might be an athlete that they want on their team. Peyton Hendershot might be that one guy. I don't know. But you're right. You have an all-star in Travis Kelce, and maybe you're going to try to make him last. You're not going to wear him down. It's a long, long NFL football season, and it's only going to get longer. It may get longer before Kelce retires. It may be 18 games. I'm not going to be shocked if it turns out to be 20 at some point 10 years from now. I don't.
It's not going to be 20.
Did you ever think it would be 18? Did you ever really think it would be 18?
Sure. I've always thought they might cut the preseason and add regular season games instead. Absolutely.
Well, they could cut some preseasons right now and still get to 20 playing the same amount of games.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Look, if you want the Chiefs roster, it's out there. We're not going to dig into the ninth string offensive lineman with you here. I'd be talking out of my rear end if I tried to do that.
Yes.
But, you know, Lucas Niang not making the team was a bit of a surprise to me, but you can find those. You can also go back and listen to our discussion from the first hour on the Odyssey app. Paul, a couple other things I want to get to before we take a look at tonight, or this afternoon's game for the Royals in our next segment. Jerry Jones defiantly defending his position as the general manager of the Cowboys. It's funny, this outcome with CeeDee Lamb was so predictable that you had two sides on this. CeeDee Lamb wanted to be the highest paid and get over Justin Jefferson. The Cowboys didn't want him to get over Justin Jefferson. He didn't get over Justin Jefferson. So Jerry Jones has taken this heat of why did this take so long? I don't know how much of that was on Jones and how much on CeeDee Lamb. I know that Jones got what he wanted at the end of the day. You know, a lot of drama and a lot of distractions and all these other things that come along with it, but he got what he wanted as the GM, and then he defends himself, which he does a lot of now lately, that he's the guy and the buck stops with him and all that stuff. Look, he's also the guy that said they're going all in this year, and they absolutely are not because they haven't done anything to change the team from a year ago. In fact, they've gotten worse. What do you make of all of this? How much longer is Jerry going to be able to sell that? Not that anybody's any threat to him, but he did get what he wanted in this CeeDee Lamb situation. He didn't want to make him the highest paid. CeeDee Lamb didn't become the highest paid. Is that a good job by Jerry Jones, even though, you know, it took missing camp to get there?
Yeah. Congratulations, Jerry. You signed him for 36. All he needed was 37, and he would have been tied. So there you go. I mean, it's almost like a hollow victory. It's like saying, yeah, I won. But it wasn't by much, was it? I mean, basically, CeeDee Lamb got everything he wanted, $36 million a year. He's now the second highest non-quarterback player in the NFL. That's pretty good company. You know, if that's where Jerry Jones is right at this point with regard.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is what's going to make me happy. Well, congratulations. I guess you're now happy, but it was $36 million. I don't know what the financial victory in that is. Who doesn't want CeeDee Lamb back? I mean, come on. I mean, it would be very, very difficult to replace a CeeDee Lamb. And, of course, Dak is next on the agenda. He'll probably get signed. I think everything will get taken care of.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know, because here's the thing. CeeDee Lamb wants him back. There's a lot of people that want him back.
Yeah.
I think deep down Jerry wants him back. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong. Hadn't he said I want him back? I believe.
Sure, he wants him this year.
I think he has said that.
Let's say Savage gets to make the decision. The Cowboys, I use the term all the time, are in purgatory and have been for a long, long time. They're not doing anything to make themselves better. They're sort of just treading water, and they'll probably win 10 plus games again this year, and they'll probably get bounced in their first playoff game again this year. At some point, you have to make a longer term decision on Dak. If it were me, and I have already given Dak the big contract, I am very annoyed that this is coming back up now. Like, we've already been through this, Dak. We did this song and dance. You got a massive contract. Play your dang contract out. And I think that's what the Cowboys ultimately, just play this year. If you come out and light the world on fire and we win a bunch of games, we'll reset the market with you again. Congratulations. If you don't, it's probably time to do something different and to blow this thing up.
Right.
I don't think the Cowboys have any problem letting Dak Prescott play this season out on the deal he's on. I don't think that they have any intention of giving him another new contract, and I don't think they will. And Dak's not going to hold out. Dak will go out and play. He'll play for his deal. I think he's made that relatively clear too. So I would bet you that nothing changes about Dak Prescott's contract. CeeDee Lamb was different. CeeDee Lamb was following the market trend, right? It was time for him to get his deal based on what we've seen throughout the league, and he clearly deserves it, and he did. That was following the market trend. That's why nobody ever doubted that his deal would get done. If I'm the Cowboys, I do not extend Dak Prescott right now. It makes no sense to me. Play your contract out. If you earn it this year and you think you deserve a new deal, go earn it, because we're paying you a boatload of money now. We've already done this with you. You getting a new deal does not help the Cowboys win a Super Bowl. It further hamstrings them against the cap.
Right.
And if that's the road he wants to take, you got to just let him take it.
Right. And when he takes that road, I mean, there's a lot of positive things that could happen with that. You have a good year.
Absolutely. He wins a Super Bowl, and then you pay him a bunch of money. Gosh, who cares?
How much you're going to make, it's going to be a whole lot more.
Joe Flacco did this. You remember that, Paul? Guess what? He got paid.
Yeah, that's right.
He went out and won a Super Bowl.
It's going to be more money than CeeDee Lamb by a long shot. We know that for sure. So you're exactly right. However, I'm not sure that Dak has that mindset right now that says, I don't want to be trying out. I don't want to be that guy. I'm Dak Prescott, for God's sakes. You know, look at me.
If you're the Cowboys brass, Paul, who cares? Who cares?
He's gonna play. I mean, that's right. I mean, we have seen players. We've seen a guy like a Mike Trout, you know, do the same thing in baseball. We've seen it in basketball. We've seen it in all kinds of sports where you see these guys and they're going to play that 1 year that they've got left, and boom, it explodes on them, doesn't it? I mean, they have a great year. That's where Dak is right this moment. Play it out. Be great. Lead your team. Get them to where they need to go. I'll tell you what, this world will open up Jerry Jones.
Yeah, he'll a big sign kiss that on check the cheek
and grab his wallet and pull it out and pay you. That's what'll happen.
Let's jump to the IHOP hotline here, 869-1240. Anthony on the line. Anthony, what's up, man? How are you?
Man, I am delirious because I worked to the 6 last night. Now I'm working 7 to 11. So you guys are my cup of joe right about now.
There you go.
And I've been listening to your show. You had me wanting to talk about KU football in the Big 12. Then you had me wanting to talk about Shocker Athletics. And now you're talking my topic, the Dallas Cowboys. And I even did a Twitch.tv segment on Jerry Jones and his profanity lace. You know, nobody can do his job. And, you know, when he came into the league, they was having meetings and they didn't have no money, and he was influential. So, you know, he has some influence in the league as far as marketing and making money. But as far as saying no one can do his job, well, I don't even know if he can do his job. But, you know, this thing with C.D. Lamb, maybe we've seen it coming because that's been the trend. Go back to the 90s with Emmitt Smith. It lasted 2 games into the season and an 0-2 start. To the point the players had to go ahead and force Jerry's hand and say, why don't you just give Emmitt what he deserved? Because look at us now. You go back to 2016, 2017, Ezekiel Elliott, right up to like the week of the season. Now, you talk about if Dak goes out now, and Dak improved over last year because last year, you said he was going to only throw, what, like 9 interceptions?
Dak was good last year, but Dak's under contract, Anthony. Dak's already got his big deal.
But now here's the deal. If he plays out his contract, and let's hypothetically say he gets him to the Super Bowl, you guys are forgetting to mention one thing, and this is where it gets dicey. Dak gets him to – probably don't even have to win it, but he gets him to the Super Bowl. Now he wants that new contract. Where does that leave Micah Parsons?
He already wants the new contract. You'd prioritize Dak because you always prioritize quarterback. And that would suck for Micah Parsons. I don't know if Jerry can get all 3 deals done. We'll see how good of a GM he is if he can get all 3 deals done. But the reality is, if you gave Dak a new deal today, okay, just think about being in, not even like trying to become Jerry Jones, just become a general manager. Dak Prescott's already on a big deal. If you give Dak a new contract today, you will basically reset the quarterback market with Dak. That's what you would do. Okay. If you wait until after this season to do the same thing, guess what you're going to do? Reset the quarterback market. There is absolutely no incentive for Dallas to do this deal now. He's going to have to reset the market to take the deal anyway. Why would you do it now?
And to the point, I believe that's why come Jerry did the deal with C.D. Lamb, because check this out. Here's something that a lot of people aren't talking about either. If C.D. Lamb plays out his contract, guess what? Chances are he resets the wide receiver market next year. So Jerry gets this deal done. And he's like, we're going to wait and see what Dak does and see if he resets the market next year. But you also have to throw this into consideration, too. How long has Dak been in the league? How old will Dak be? And will he outplay his years on that contract? You got to take that into consideration. Because at some point, everybody's not going to be a Tom Brady and play till they're 75 years old.
Dak's not. I mean, Dak's not going to do that. But
you have to look,
Dak
you
has been fine. Dak has been good. Like he has a playoff problem, but he's only 31 years old. It's not that Dak shouldn't be paid that way. For me, He already is paid that way, though. CeeDee Lamb was not. CeeDee Lamb was still on a rookie deal. Two very, very different. Micah Parsons, still on a rookie deal. Their grievances are very different than Dak's grievance. Their grievances are, hey, the market tells us it's time for us to be paid. Dak already did that once. We got to go wait. Like, he's already gone through that process, and he got paid. So if I'm the person in Jerry Jones's seat, I'm like, dude, we've already done this. We're not doing that right now. Go play this year. We'll reset the market with you. Everybody knows what that deal looks like. He just, because the quarterback market is outside of the Deshaun Watson fiasco, it's very predictable. If you're due up for a contract and you're good in this league, you reset the market almost always. At least if you're in the conversation where Dak Prescott is, you're going to go in and he's going to reset the market. But that's going to happen at the end of the season or at the beginning of the season. So why would you do it before you have to? There's no incentive for the Cowboys to do that. What is Dak going to walk as a free agent if the Cowboys have a great offer on the table? He's not going to do that.
Right.
If the Cowboys make him a great offer after the season, he's not walking and going somewhere else.
Jefferson set the market.
Now let's play this devil's advocate. Now, if they have another bust in the playoffs, do they let Dak go? Because
are you asking me, the Cowboys fan?
Right.
Yes.
Jerry is not, you know, he's not obligated now after that because of, based on his playoff performance. Why should we pay him? So where does he end up going?
Correct.
I've heard places like this. Dak could end up in Pittsburgh. That'd probably be an ideal spot. Or he could end up with the Raiders. So, having said that, I'm going to hang up and listen at your comments, and you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Anthony. We appreciate it.
Dak could absolutely walk, but if he's not good enough to help the Cowboys win a Super Bowl, why is he there?
Yeah.
He might help somebody else win a Super Bowl. That's great. This isn't a knock on Dak's ability or anything else. He had a really nice year last year. It's a knock on the logistics and the business of it. It does not make any sense. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense for the Cowboys to do that now versus at the end of the season. The contract will be the same whenever they do it. Why would you do it now? Let him play it out. If it doesn't work again, the right decision at that point is going to be to do something else.
Right. Well, it could make Dak a heck of a lot more money if he has a pretty good year. I mean, we're talking...
He's going to reset the market either way.
He would.
It's just what quarterbacks do. All right, 869-1240. We appreciate the call to the IOP hotline there from Anthony. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on our last full segment here. Don't go away.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be here with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Paul, you know, Crestview Country Club could help with the Hawaiian movement. They've got a pro shop there attached to the golf short with all kinds of great clothes, basically. A lot of golf stuff. But I have a couple of Hawaiian-themed golf shirts that I've gotten that I might incorporate into our Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays.
That counts.
We know about the golf. We know about the food, the pool, the tennis, all that great stuff we tell you about here as they're great supporters of the program. Mm-hmm. That pro shop can help on the Hawaiian shirt. If you need a good a high-quality Hawaiian theme shirt, you can get over to Crestview and check out their golf shop to join the movement.
Good.
All right. You've got our giveaways here. Real quick, Paul, on the Royals tonight. It should be fun because it's, again, we keep saying house money. You've taken three straight. Boy, that sweep would feel good. You've got Waka. He's been the best of the starters lately, in my opinion. He's on the mound against Tanner Bibee, who's one of their better guys. Hey, look, you have another chance. Think they can get a sweep? They were plus money yesterday. It paid off. They're plus money again today at plus 130. There you go. If you think the Royals can complete the sweep, Bibee's been good. I will say that he's probably their most dangerous starter, at least in the conversation for it. So it'll be tough for the Royals today, but it's a noon game after a late night last night. And then they got to, you know, get out of Cleveland, but Boy, it'd feel nice if they get a sweep here.
Oh, it's just spectacular. I mean, the fact that, you know, you get a win this afternoon, and you're at the top of your division. Are you kidding me? I did not see that coming. I was hopeful for the playoff berth, for the wild card. But, man, this is just amazing. This makes you want to sit up and take notice. As a matter of fact, I may just flip on that Royals game. I think I will be a round of TV where I will be. I'm going to see if I can get the Royals game on. I'm going to try to get it on. Absolutely.
Paul, most of us have been listening or watching the Royals every game of the year. We're getting you on board here. Real quick, you sent me a list, Paul. What game are you most excited to watch this weekend? I'll take a guess.
Yes.
I'll guess that it's Notre Dame, A&M, but there's that one. There's Clemson, Georgia. There's SCLSU, and there's Miami, Florida.
How did you know? I feel guilty because I want Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Two halves, not two have-nots, two halves. And I want to watch them play this weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good one. I think both teams will have something to prove to live up to the preseason hype a little bit. So I'm with you on that, but there's some really, really good. I think Georgia's going to smoke Clemson.
I do too.
I think LSU's probably going to smoke USC, but I think A&M, Notre Dame could be
really
good.
Florida, Miami, are we previewing too much? Florida, what do you got on that?
I don't care.
You don't care?
Miami. No. Okay. Miami probably, but that one doesn't move the needle for me too much.
All right.
All right. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on it. We'll tell you all the listening details for the Royals today next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.